Hello, Annie Trenders. Welcome to the Girl Taku, hosted by the ladies of Anime Trending. If you're looking for nice tea and deep dive analysis about otaku things, you've come to the right place. We love our conversation and discussion, and we're back with another fun topic on the table. My name is Gracie, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I am Isabel, and...
This is Agnes.
So, without further ado, the Girl Taku today will be about ENFP anime characters, and boy, do I have a lot to say. I'll bet not planned, but after planning for this week's episode, I realize I've got a lot to say about this particular character type and sort of the analysis to go with them. Now, once again, I do want to preface this by saying, one, this is our personal interpretation and analysis. Of course, we do not know literal anime characters' personality types. That is just not, unless they're real, we're just not going to know in that case. And second of all, even if you don't believe in the MBTI analysis, at the very least, hopefully you will find this to be fun regardless. Before I get into them, however... I kind of want to get a quick survey on the girls and their experience with ENFPs on whether they've had many experiences with ENFPs. I have several ENFPs in my life. I've had a lot of classmates who are friends who are ENFPs. My best friend, Shauna, is an ENFP and a ghost that the three of us are all aware of who continues to haunt Anime Trending is also an ENFP. Agnes, I know that you have a particular relationship with an ENFP, but I'm also kind of curious if you know any other ones outside of the two individuals.
No, unfortunately not. Most of the people in my life are actually INFJ, surprisingly. So I have a very different relationship in terms of like the people that I associate with.
Okay, and what about you, Isabel?
Yeah, honestly, same here. I personally... have not met someone that's an ENFP, or if they are, I had no clue. So
yeah, that too, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, then I want to go ahead and get started because the first thing I noticed when I was looking up characters to choose from is I saw a lot of mistyped characters. ENFP characters tend to get stereotyped a lot. And even in real life, they get stereotyped and misunderstood. So before we start today's session, I kind of want to get two misconceptions about ENFPs just out of the way, just from this very, very start. And the first one is that ENFPs are life of the party, extroverted, fun to be around, social butterflies. Wrong, very big misconception. Not that they aren't those things, but they are also extremely private, and they also are quite introverted. In fact, out of all the 16 personalities, if things were a scale, you know, ENFJs would be on the far end of extroversion, and then we have ISTPs on the other far end of the introversion scale. But ENFPs would actually be smack dab in the middle. They are literally the most introverted of all the extroverted types. The reason why they get this misconception of being the life of the party and silly and sort of like the class clown sort of thing is that that's their charisma around other people. But when you really get to know an ENFP, they're actually perfectly good to just settle down and just... do their own thing and not talk and not bother anyone. The best way I can describe ENFPs is that their battery, the way that their battery works is different. And so introversions or introverts like Isabel and Agnes, for example, you two, you know, charge your batteries when you're alone. And then once it fills up or is at 80%, whichever, you guys can unplug your battery, aka go hang out with people, and then it starts whittling down. And then at a certain point, you're like, okay, time to charge up the battery again. So for ENFPs in particular, their charging up battery by being around other people charges super duper fast. What would probably take like 30 minutes of interactions for me to like charge like 10% really of a dead battery. They can charge up to probably 40 or 50 in a single instant. And so because of that, they can spend very minimal time around people and then be by themselves for quite some time until the battery gets low again and they need to recharge it, but then it recharges super quickly. So ENFPs are actually the ultimate ambiverts, and I often see them get mistyped, or anime characters who get tagged as ENFPs tend to be that exaggerated form of extroversion where they're the life of the party and they're the class clown and stuff like that. But ESFPs and ENFPs can give off very, very similar vibes, and a lot of ESFPs tend to get mistyped into ENFPs for that reason. And it's actually the characters who have a streak of introversion inside them who also seem perfectly capable in a social setting tends to be more likely to be ENFPs than the ones who are just purely life of the party, super social, and super, like, a talkative sort of thing. So that's the first thing I want to get out of the way, which Agnes, I think, has had personal experience with her bae in regards to this one, this particular
element. That is very true, yeah. They often remark, like, you know, they are, like, they're the class clown type of deal. But a lot of the people who are close to them, in particular their family members, will often also remark, like, you know, as much as they say, like, you know, they're extroverted and all, when they're at home, they're quiet. They go do their own thing. They just hole up in a room and just don't talk to you for days. And that, I think that is what really shocks people about ENFPs when you start to get to know them a lot more. Because the exterior part is definitely just feeding off of other people's vibes and, like, blending in to be the life of the party, to be the type of person that people expect at a party, right? They're kind of like a social chameleon in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the other thing, huge misconception I want to point out is that, and this unfortunately is very prevalent, is that ENFPs tend to be portrayed as dumb. Like, they're very emotional, and at times they're just straight up dumb because they don't think at all and they don't go through any logic or any sort of thing. And that is such a huge misconception that I need to push out of the way right now. On top of being insane ambiverts, as in probably some of the most ambiverted ambiverts in existence for ENFPs, they are also some of the most logical of the feelers group. And the simple reason for that is that their tertiary function, so remember how I said every single MBTI has four levels of functionalities? And the first level is the one you probably see the most, and is also the one that they usually have, like, the most control over. Well, their tertiary level, which is right at the cusp of unconsciously affecting their decisions, but also high enough where they could bring it out, depending on the situation, is extroverted thinking, which means that they take a very logic-oriented way of problem solving. And this is actually why a fun fact about ENFPs, and I think Medi's mentioned this as well, RIP Medi, never forgotten, but Medi's mentioned this as well, is that he's actually pretty good at putting things together. Like, and Shauna's the same way. She's actually pretty good at putting things together. And that's their tertiary thinking. Their tertiary extroverted thinking. We're not used to seeing it because we're so used to just seeing their NE, which is extroverted intuition, which is just very, like, imaginative and big ideas and sort of, like,
Kira, sparkle, sparkle everywhere, right?
Yeah. And then we're so used to seeing that we don't usually pay attention to the extroverted thinking part, but it comes out, and especially in situations where things are a little more dire or things are just a little more serious, it's out in the full front, like, full force, no questions asked. And they come off really logical because of that. And I hate the fact that ENFPs keep getting portrayed as dumb. And in fact, a lot of the characters on this list I purposefully took off, even because of the fact that it's just they're ENFPs because they're kind of dumb is what it is. And that's just not how ENFPs work. They are some of the most logical people out there in regards to feelers. So, and like, obviously every person has logic and every person has emotional intelligence. It's not possible to only be one or the other. But especially in their case, it's much more on a controllable level on their tertiary function versus something like me where my thinking is on the inferior level. So that's the fourth level where it's almost completely unconsciously fueling things. So yes, that's the two big misconceptions I just want to get out right of the way. And because of that, ENFPs get notoriously mistyped as either ESFPs or ESFP anime characters get tagged as ENFPs or ENFP anime characters get tagged as ENTPs. So with that out of the way, I'm ready to start diving right in.
Oh, that's funny that you say that the ENFPs get mistyped as ENTPs when I've actually experienced an ENTP recently. And I'm like, oh, they are worlds different.
Right. Exactly.
Like, they might seem the same because they're like that class clown type. Yep. But mm-hmm. When you put two of them in the same room, mm-hmm. it is a complete world's different. The ENFP will actually be a lot quieter than the ENTP.
Right, exactly.
By a farther margin, yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, so the 12 that I offered was Naruto from Naruto, Itadori from Jujutsu Kaisen, Yukihira from Food Wars, Narumi from Wotakoi, Vash from Vash Stampede, Chrome from Dr. Stone, Hao from Howl's Moving Castle, Anisvia or Anis from Magi Revel, Dazai from Bugo Stray Dogs, Sid from The Eminence in Shadow, Kage from Ring King of Kings, and finally Sakura Kinomoto from Cardcaptor Sakura. So the girls picked Itadori, Narumi, Vash, Howl, Anis, and Dazai of the six that we're going to discuss today. So with those two... Oh,
Isabel also got Kage too, right?
Oh, did I miss Kage, that one?
But... Yeah, because Isabel was like, I don't want to do Howl.
We could talk about Howl. I just haven't seen Howl's Moving Castle, so that's why. But okay. Y'all can talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, we can do
He
Kage,
must be interesting,
then. That's fine.
So...
Well, with that being said, let's start with Itadori, because especially since, Isabel, you expressed surprise, or I guess disappointment, that Itadori isn't an ISFP, but with those two misconceptions I've said out of the way, how do you feel about Itadori being on the list?
Yeah, I think I'm better about it. I only just wanted him because I like him. I want him to have my personality type. But obviously, I think after I actually think about it, yeah, he's definitely not an I. And I always have trouble between the N and the S. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, I still need like examples on that. But that I guess the FP part is the same. So that's. Yeah, but I feel like with the two things that you cleared up, I think that makes it more clear, and I can see how they're mistyped a lot. Like, if you look up these characters, like, on Google or anything like that, you'll get a lot of different kind of answers as well.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Right. So, a fun fact for Itadori is that there is one scene that completely sold me on the fact that Itadori is an ENFP, and it sounds weird, but just hang with me here. So in the first season, there was one part where, you know, Gojo brought Itadori to fight Volcano Head, or as my roommate calls him affectionately, Mike Wazowski. And
Mike Wazowski! Not the Mike Wazowski!
And at one point, they, the asparagus,
oh,
rescued Mike Wazowski, or Mike Wazowski's head, And there was a part where Itadori, like, got caught, and at first Itadori was like, Sensei, don't worry about me, go after the curse, but then he was like, no, never mind, help! And so, obviously, Gojo valued the safety of a student over Mike Wazowski's head. And when that happened, Gojo is just, like, mumbling, like, thinking to himself, but then Itadori gets on his knees, and he goes, I'm really sorry about this, because of me, the enemy escaped, but now that I think about it, you're the one who brought me here, so technically it's your fault. And that particular scene is so indicative of the ENFP. And to tell you guys how indicative it is that both of the ENFPs closest in my life, which is Shauna and Medi, may he rest in peace, is they've done it. So before I even mentioned MBTI or Itadori in the same sentence, they've both done the exact same thing to me within 3 hours of each other. Like, Shauna and I were chatting and messaging on Facebook, and then she started ranting, which is, you know, very typical of my conversations with her. I rant a lot as well. And then after a certain point, she was like, I'm so sorry you had to read through that slog of, like, you know, thoughts that came out of me that are completely disorganized. But technically, you were the one who brought up the topic. So technically, it's also your fault.
Damn. Burn.
And then 3 hours later, I kid you not, Medi is chatting with me and everything. And then he goes on a rant with lots of paragraphs of answers. And then at the end goes, I'm sorry, I feel like I completely took over the conversation. But actually, Gracie's the one who started the conversation. So technically, this is Gracie's fault. And I was like, the fact that these two did the exact same thing within 3 hours of each other before I even mentioned the scene from this anime related to this particular personality type. I can explain why. And it's the fact that that is their FI and their TE at odds with each other, or really working in tandem in this case, where one is in charge, but then the other one takes over. And for that, so their auxiliary function, which is their second level, is introverted feeling. And that is where they get a deep sense of morals and code. And now that's, and it's very personal. It's not black and white. It's something that they formulate for themselves. And they're actually very, very stubborn about it. One, like, really strong, like, personality trait that the ENFPs have is that if they break their own code, if they break their own moral code and they know they've done something bad, they don't try to excuse themselves out of it, basically. They admit to it. So they're just like, I did this and I broke the code but I'm going to keep doing it. And that's usually, and that would be a good way for me to describe an antagonist ENFP, honestly. And so what we have here is the personal moral code of Itadori, and in my case of my real life examples of Shauna and our ghost Medi, is that their moral code of feeling like they've drawn attention from another person who deserved to have that equal attention and conversation and made it about themselves. So they're first apologizing for all the stuff that of how they messed up and, you know, it's their fault sort of thing. But then their extroverted thinking from their tertiary level starts kicking in. They're like, hey, Nod, logically speaking, this wouldn't have even happened if it wasn't for XYZ. So they can't help but point it out, even though they internally feel like they've messed up. And so that is so, like, just standard of ENFPs that are just so unique to them. And it's actually insane that both of them did the same thing to me within 3 hours, and then Itadori's doing that apology. Another note I'll go ahead and say for Itadori as well is that I like that you guys chose him because he's honestly a good example of a turbulent ENFP where they struggle more with self-esteem. Really, what it means is that they're not super confident in themselves. And really the result of that is simply because of the fact that everyone has self-esteem issues. Everyone can struggle with that, but how that self-esteem issue reflects in each personality differs. And for ENFPs in particular, they really care about being liked. Like, that just matters to them so much. They don't need to be right. They don't need to be good per se. They just want to be liked really, really badly. And Itadori, that makes a whole part of Itadori's theme in his story of Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, literally, when Kamol asked Itadori during that baseball game where he was like, why did you become a sorcerer? You know, Itadori's answer is that he just wanted people at his funeral. And obviously, that is heavily affected by what happened with his grandfather. But it's also indicative of his person as a whole, which is why he was also so horrified when he saw that everyone hated Toto, because Toto's on the opposite end of the spectrum where Toto really doesn't care if people like him or not. He just does his own thing. And so, which is literally the most horrifying thing that an ENFP can think of. So when he saw everyone hated the guy, he's just like, Toto, everyone hates you. It's like the most horrifying thing to him because that's his worst nightmare coming true. So that's another element of ENFPs and Itadori. All right, so I've talked a lot about Itadori now with ENFPs, but I know, Agnes, you feel strongly about Itadori being an ENFP as well.
Oh yeah, I mean when you told me about the apology part, I looked at like both Mehdi and Sean and I'm like, yeah, I see it. I 100% see it. There are multiple conversation threads even afterwards, even after the whole like reveal about Itadori being an ENFP, that I see it very clearly from the both of them in like general side conversations. So I definitely agree with that for sure.
And Isabel, I guess, do you feel more comfortable letting Itadori go?
Yeah, I feel more comfortable letting him go. I still like him. It's okay.
Isabel really wanted to have like that Chainsaw Man panel where she's like, he's me, but for real, you know, where he's crying, but this is okay.
I am kind of curious, though. Yeah, I am kind of curious because I don't see anything similar to ISFPs to Itadori. And even Mehdi, you know, he's read a lot of arguments and he says like he can kind of see the argument for ESFP potentially because ESFPs actually have extroverted thinking in their functions as well. But did you relate, I guess, to Itadori any shape or form or a particular like thought process perhaps that made you feel like he should be an ISFP?
I think the point is like Itadori has moments where he just like points out something is wrong. I think what you had said earlier, kind of like technically you started this conversation type of thing, mm-hmm. but sometimes he like without the whole long thing of that, he kind of like cuts into it just like, oh, but it's not like that, or like I don't feel that way type of thing. So to me it looked like kind of like a little bit more like black and white thinking he has, like when it doesn't really matter to him.
Okay.
Yeah, when he doesn't have like a personal connection to it, or he's just like spitting facts. I guess so, that's why. But I think overall he definitely, like when you actually think about how he feels around the people around him and you know, his Jujutsu Kaisen friends, he definitely needs them around him. I think he definitely doesn't charge his battery like alone, introvertedly. So yep, it makes more sense. That's why you can see ESFP probably, maybe some people might say that. So
got it. Alrighty. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to our second one, which you guys share as well, which is Narumi from Wotakoi. You know, what were your thoughts when you saw her on the list?
I don't know, just Kira Princess Sparkle vibes. That's all I got from Narumi. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Because of that one sentence I said, and now it's taken over.
It's like literally the one thing that cements in my brain now, and I can't let it go. But if I do have to be a little bit very, like a lot more critical with ENFPs, is like I noticed that some of the, if I compare like between like Mehdi and you, right, Gracie, is like for you, when you have a passion that or like an interest that you want to share with another person, you're not particularly pushy about it. You're generally just like, oh, you know, this is thing that I've been reading or watching, and if you happen to pick it up, like let me know type of thing. Or we naturally become kind of roped in with the same anime that you're watching because, you know, we edit your articles or we see it on social media, and so that's how we end up finding that we have similar interests, or we end up doing something that you already are playing, right?
It
doesn't need to take that much convincing. But with an ENFP, it's really interesting because you talk about how they want to be likable to everybody, but they also want to share all of their passions with everybody too. And I really noticed that with Mehdi in particular, where he kind of not imposes, but like he kind of ropes in a lot of people into playing like the same games or watching the same shows as him. And Narumi kind of does the exact same thing, where she ropes Hanako into watching BL.
Right, yeah.
And for Hanako, it was like, you know, because Hanako used to be like very in the flashback, she used to be very anti-anime, right? She thought it was like a nerdy and otaku things looked down by society. And she was even critical of Kabakura, who was like a closeted otaku, right? But the moment Narumi showed interest and said, oh, by the way, I'm reading this, it's called BL, do you want to read it with me? Hanako was like enraptured into it as well, to the point where Hanako goes even further by cosplaying that, and then Narumi is just so ecstatic that she shares the same passions and interests as her. Versus for, I think like for an ENFJ, you don't need to be sharing all of the same interests to be friends with the ENFJ, right? And the ENFJ will more so accept the fact that, you know, there are things that we have differences on that's completely normal, but they're more accepting of that, versus the ENFP will sometimes be like, no, you have to like this because I like this, right? So I think that's just like a very interesting thing that ENFPs does. It can be a good and it can be a bad thing. They have to find like a very good balance between the two of them. And that's where their, I think their people reading skills comes into play, where they can think to themselves like, well, maybe this person will actually like this because I like it and we share similar values.
Right, yeah. And I would also like to point out that a big difference is that ENFPs are procrastinators and ENFJs are not.
Yes! Narumi is always procrastinating at work. And Hirotake always comes over, he's like, are you done with work yet? And she's like, no. So I definitely see that. Shana and Mehdi can be big procrastinators for sure.
Yeah. Flashback, Vietnam War flashbacks.
Why do you say Vietnam War flashbacks?
Because I'm just trying to like be stressed for them. See, there's like only a day left, and being like them just locking themselves in their room and then just sitting down to get it done. And I was just like, I'd rather die.
that's the J in you, like screaming. Because I mean, I'm a procrastinator too. I think Isabel, what about you?
Oh yeah, all the time. We need that. Yeah. I need like a fire lit under my butt to do something.
I would rather die.
It's the adrenaline, Gracie. You got to tap into it.
Oh man. All right. But okay, so Isabel, what about you when you saw Narumi on this list?
Yeah, I thought it was nice. I really agree with, you know, everything that Agnes said as well, and then I find it interesting that Narumi is also very like enthusiastic about, you know, her interests and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I guess like has that type of charisma. I feel like ENFPs probably have that, like kind of like attracting people to them and, you know, like you said, sharing their interests and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are like the only things that I can like point out that Narumi might have in comparison to everyone else on this list.
I think the other thing that I also want to point out is like when we talk about how Narumi shows like a different type of personality when she's trying to date other people, I think is also a very indicative of an ENFP, where they're like, they're either like class clown or they have like different personalities for different groups of people when they meet, and it's deliberately to get them well liked. And Narumi has to hide all of her otaku or like her obsessions because she doesn't want them to figure out what's behind the closet, so to speak, right? And I feel like that's very indicative of ENFPs more than other extroverted types may or may not be as like meek about showing the things that they actually like.
Okay, I'm about to expose some people. I apologize ahead of time because I have a feeling they're gonna listen.
Oops.
Okay, so when you mentioned that part, I need to mention, there's a quirk with ENFPs where they're pretty darned bad at flirting and pursuing people romantically, and I don't know why, because they're like some of the most charismatic people when they're not trying, and then it's like they shut down when it comes to the romance part. And there's either one or of two options, okay? Or sorry, actually one of three options. So they either just straight up like just get so nervous and stiff that you can't even tell at all that they like you, and instead they just try to run away. Narumi in the first episode, and after Hirotaka confessed to her. And then their other thing is two, which is they start questioning whether the person actually likes them. Narumi from Hirotaka in episode one again, they start questioning on whether it's even real because they are so unsure on whether it's real or not. And then their third one is that they are trying to flirt, but then all that charisma is just out the window.
It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. It's completely gone.
It's like
all their riz like disappeared.
And it's just like, where did they go? You can like, okay, Okay, Shauna flirts like with me all the time. Granted, it's a bad combination because I just get very confused. So it's a bad combination. But she can like easily do these stuff with me. And then when it's like, if it's in a situation where she might actually be attracted to someone, stuff like that, and she tries to talk to them, it's just gone. Like, yeah, it's like all that skill out the window. Don't even know where they went. You're just kind of like, what happened? Like, how does it just disappear from you that way? I don't get it. It's an ENFP thing. And this is why a certain someone collaborated with me to help get another person under their grasp. Names shall not be spilled in this case, but names are but the girls know who the names are referring to. So it's a weird thing. I don't get it. You ENFPs confuse me when this happens. But Narumi is also that. So if that makes you guys feel any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know why. Ask him why, Agnes. So.
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, man. All right. Third one on the list is Vash from Vash Stampede. I think Vash is actually an excellent example in EFP. I'm really glad that you guys picked him. And yeah, so kind of wanted to hear your thoughts first. What did you guys think of Vash?
He has that air of, I want to help people as much as I can. And he kind of, like you said before, that in a separate conversation that I had, is like the ENFPs typically come off as like the shonen protagonist.
Right, yeah.
Vibes. And Vash completely embodies that, where he has like the empathy and he has the charisma of like a typical storybook hero. But he has, most importantly, this grand ideal that he wants to save people, right?
Yeah.
He may not have a strategy. He may not have a tactic on how he wants to do that, as compared to Knives, which Knives' whole plan was basically destroy the world, right? But for Vash, it's just like, he still holds on to that ideal very stubbornly of, I still want to save as many people as I can, even if I don't have a plan, which is the whole point of his story in both the original Trigun and also Trigun Stampede, where he comes across a lot of people who are like, well, you want to do this, but you don't have a plan. Are you stupid? And Vash says, well, yes, but at the same time, this is like my conviction, you know? So I think that's what really makes Vash stand out as like the true like shonen protagonist who wants to save everybody.
And what about you, Isabel? You really liked Vash from Trigun Stampede, so.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing that Agnes said. I thought that he had that, you know, grand idea of trying to save everyone without obviously not having a plan, which, to me, when I watch that, I'm just like, how do you not have a plan? You need a plan, especially for something as big as that. So, but then that's his whole story. So I'm like curious as to how he actually gets it done. And that's probably the biggest thing that I noticed with him as well. I don't know what you had on him in particular, Gracie, or like a specific moment other than that in the show.
So answer is yes. I'm glad that Vash was picked, because I usually try to, when I pick these characters, I think there's like a particular element that they showcase super duper well that I usually like. And I think Vash is such a perfect example of the whole ENFP thing of being like a social butterfly, class clown, you know, because we first meet him, he's cackling like a madman and he's funny and he pranks around a lot. He knows everyone. Everyone loves him, you know, that sort of thing. But then deep down, he's very private. And it's not even just like, it's honestly not even just that, you know, he's scared of other people know that their lives are in danger. But it's like, don't forget those two humans that he has a really close bond with who, you know, raised him. Like, he keeps things from them, too, because he really likes to keep his emotions to himself. And I will say that probably this is a little bit similar to ENFJs, for that matter, as well. But ENFPs are pretty private about their emotions. They come off super open and like, you know, everything about them. But in reality, they like to try to solve the problems themselves. And if they can't, they tend to just sulk, which that I can't relate to, because ENFJs have to solve the problem. They can't just sulk. That's not a thing for us. But with ENFPs, sometimes they just want to sulk to themselves and just put themselves in a room and just calm down and let them wallow in their own feelings. And I feel like Vosh is just such a clear example of that. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Like, cackly. He's a madman. He's super funny. And, you know, he's dancing all over the place with those two guns. And then you get to know him and he's very quiet and he's and he keeps to himself. And he has and all his deep, you know, a lot of angst. He just wows in it on his own. He doesn't want people to see it. He doesn't want people to let people in on that regard. And it's not even because he wants to protect himself. It's not even because he wants to protect other people. It's just that's how he needs to process things. And so because that's, you know, where internal feeling comes in. So that's the main reason why I feel like Vosh is just such a good example of ENFPs. And, you know, Agnes, has Mehdi talked to you about Vosh being an ENFP? Because I do know that he related actually a lot to Vosh.
I don't think he did, because at the time I was kind of on and off with Trigun Stampede.
Right, yeah.
So I never actually finished Trigun Stampede. I just know what happens at the end and generally what happens with the majority of the cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So then, the fourth one we will talk about is Kage, because Isabel hasn't seen Howl's Moving Castle yet. But Kage is from Ranking of Kings. And how did you two feel about seeing him on the list?
I was really surprised that you put Kage on here, so I want to hear people's thoughts about it.
Okay. Interesting. What about you, Isabel?
Yeah, I chose Kage because I think Kage, it probably showcases the most, like, I guess he has a lot of empathy and he's very, very kind-hearted and very, very influenced. I think you can see that, like, the first season when he meets I'm thinking of Bocchi the Rock, but it's not.
Bocchi, because it's a J-I, right?
Okay.
Bocchi the Rock is with a C-H.
Okay. Right?
Or at least the romanization. So, Bocchi.
All right. Yeah, I just confused. I'm just like, it has a double letter and I don't know which one it is. But yeah, I think it was because Kage at first, he like, when the first few episodes when you meet him, and then, you know, he's kind of taking advantage of Bocchi, and he's like putting on this whole like thing that he, you know, he's from like the Shadow Clan, and like he wants to take everything away. He's scary, but in reality he's not. He's just like a, I don't know, like a little cinnamon roll, I feel like.
Yeah, he's very wholesome.
Yeah.
He's very wholesome. Mm-hmm. I think what threw me off with Kage was how much he threatened Bocchi at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's when I thought Kage would have been like an antagonist, right? Which obviously is not the case when you finish the Ranking of Kings. Kage is his most loyal friend till the end. But I think that's what really threw me off, was like that whole charisma charaded act. And I think with Kage, I think Kage feels the less of the ENFP, not in terms of like his empathy, but because he's not like that typical idealistic stereotype ENFP who's always like optimistic about the world or things like that, because Kage had a lot of trauma from his clan being basically murdered in front of his eyes. And so I think that's kind of like a maybe a shadow side of an ENFP ? Or like what an ENFP looks like when like tragedy strikes, right?
Yes.
So I think that's what confuses me when we said that he would have been ENFP. I would have thought that he was like maybe like an I somewhere without knowing that he would have been an ENFP.
So a lot of people think that he is an ENTP. So another one that got, but I could probably already hear Agnes being like, no, I've met
an absolutely ENTP. Not. I've met an ENTP before, and it is a world's difference. There's a thing that they say where it's like, you never put an ENTP and an ISTP in the same room together, because the ISTP will be constantly confused with an ENTP. And I'm not confused with Kage at all. Like, I understand Kage from like the beginning to finish, but like, if you put me and Todo who's an ENTP from Jujutsu Kaisen in the same room, I will not understand him at all. I am completely baffled every single time. I'm entertained, but I'm still very baffled.
So what I was going to say is, you kind of had a perfect lead in for this, Agnes, is when you mentioned like, oh, I guess this is an example of ENFPs whose life dealt them a really, really set of bad cards, and they've actually reached a low point where right. there wasn't really anywhere else they could go anymore. And that's exactly it, because Kage is such a perfect example of how ENFPs use their tertiary extroverted thinking functionality when the going gets tough. This is once again why it's so important. This extroverted thinking does a lot to distinguish ENFPs from other types. But on their tertiary function of ENFPs, like that's there to unconsciously make their decisions, but at the same time be at the surface enough for them to utilize for their own benefit. And as Agnes has already pointed out, Kage has reached bottom. He has yeah. nowhere more he can go, to the point where his extroverted thinking has now kicked into place. And he's like, I gotta break my own moral code. I need to start doing wrong things if it means just to survive. Like, that's just what life is for me at this rate. And he knows what he's doing to Bulgy is bad. Like, he doesn't try to deny at any point. And in fact, I don't even think he tries to, he doesn't even try to rationalize it for that matter. He knows what he's doing is bad. He knows it's unfair, but his extroverted thinking is on full force of being like, I'm in the problem of being rock bottom and I need to do whatever it takes to survive. Like, that's just, I'm sorry, that's just what it is. And I have to break my own codes for this. But the second he realizes that there is a way to survive and go back up in life without having to break those moral codes that he does take very seriously, and that's why he is such a cinnamon roll, is that ultimately deep down, Kage is such a good person. Sounds wrong, but like person, not in the sense of a human, but person as in like their character. He immediately reverts back to it. And Kage also does have, and I know we've been kind of like, we've been kind of ignoring it, their extroverted intuition, which comes with their theories and frameworks and big ideals. Well, I guess we didn't, because Vash very much just portrays that. But when Kage gets really big brained sometimes when he's like thinking up strategies for Bulgy to get stronger or ways to fight and stuff like that, he gets big brained because his mind is just huge and he's thinking of all these different creative ideas. And that's a big thing about ENFPs, and that's also leads to you know, their portrayal of being life of the party and being social butterflies and stuff like that because of their extroverted intuition and their dominant function. But I think it's just Kage is just such a good example of how an ENFP in a very bad situation is utilizing their extroverted thinking, but the second they've started to find a life where they don't have to rely on their tertiary function, they immediately abandon it. And they go to their upper levels again, because that's ultimately where they're most comfortable with. So thank you for that, Agnes. That was a perfect segue. But does that make sense to both of you two?
Oh, that definitely makes sense now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Alrighty. So the fifth one on the list is Anis from Magi Revel. Once again, thoughts on seeing her name on this list?
When we talk about big brain, Anis Sphere is probably the second biggest brain in this list. the last biggest brain is the one that we saved for last, for sure. But Anis Sphere is the big brain, right? Because she comes from an alternative universe. She's isekai, right? Mm-hmm. But she brings in all of this knowledge from her old world and tries to basically make it work in this new world, and is constantly churning out new inventions every single year.
And they don't work, so she just starts again and, you know, tries to make it work, yeah.
and it's just so funny because, like, everyone around her, she's kind of considered an oddball, because even if they don't work, she still goes at it again in a society where magic takes precedence over everything. And that just makes people confused, but at the same time is kind of very inspiring, sort of, is like the never give up type of vibe from Anisphia, which I think the ENFPs have when they're like very big brain and when they're actually very persistent on something. But on the flip side of being persistent, they're also procrastinators. So
she does procrastinate, you're right.
She procrastinates so much to the point that her now wife basically goes like, girl, you need to sit down and focus. Like, you need to finish developing this one product. And if you don't, like, I will have to enforce something. And eventually, you know, like, Anisfi's, like, kind of, like, intensity to, like, finish something will kick in. But for the most part, all of her, even her main, like, lady-in-waiting, even she said, like, oh, yeah, there's always, like, all sorts of these inventions around. She never finishes getting around to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so perfect. That actually summarizes. And yes, you're right. I did want that Innie in Honest to be present. So, Isabel, what about you when you saw her on this list?
Oh yeah, I feel like she comes as no surprise because of how creative she is, and like from the first episode when I saw her, I'm like, she is a real character here. I feel like, yeah, she just goes to the extreme on everything, and like everyone's like frustrated with her or just completely confused by her actions. And I'm on the side that where I'm like confused. I have lots of questions as to why she does things this way or something, but for some reason it works out. So that's amazing. I feel like that's what keeps people watching the show as well. Like, you never know what Anis has in mind next and what she'll do and how she deals with people. And so I think that's why she's definitely, I feel like, the star of the show overall.
All right. So, Agnes, I'm going to tell you something and you're going to react to it. But people think Anis is an ENTP as well.
That's bullshit. That's complete bullshit. Holy crap.
All right, why do you have such an immediate no reaction to this?
It is such bullshit. I'll have you know, the ENTP that I know in real life is so off the rails, like literally bouncing off walls when we have a conversation, like when we sit down and have a conversation. I think like one time I was over at their house. And I was playing some music, like, and I was cooking something in their kitchen. I was making something for them all to eat for dinner. And I was playing some music from the Final Fantasy 14 game, just, like, as background music. And then all of a sudden, the ENTP just, like, rushes out of his room. And he holds up his samurai sword. And he's like, I am a samurai now. Because that particular soundtrack is, like, very dedicated towards, like, that samurai class. And I'm just like, dude, where the f*** did you come from? And he was, like, so proud of it. Now everyone else is just like, it's just one of the ENTP quirks. That is what it is. Whereas the ENFP would just be, like, just sitting there just vibing at all. They won't be, like, doing something, like, as extravagant as an ENTP. And I guess I can see Anisphere being seen as an ENTP because she is so extravagant with her designs. But not really. There's still like a function of logic to it, and it's not that she's not bouncing off walls type of energy.
Like, for you, you're like, their chaotic, ENTP's chaoticness almost feels like they don't have logic to it, and for ENFPs, it ironically does feel like it has logic to it.
Right, exactly. The problem that I have with ENTPs is that their chaos is so incredibly consuming that I can't see like the logic in it, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what the f-? Right? And I'm just confused. I'm just utterly confused. But with an ENFP, and I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see some logic in it. It's not that bad. So
Yeah, so I do think this is a good time for me to kind of compare between the two. So I think the reason why people get them flipped is that when you think of ENTPs, when you think of ENFPs, you think their chaoticness is the emotional one, but ENTPs' chaoticness is the logical one, but it's actually flipped. And the reason why is, once again, ENFPs, their cognitive functions is, and their first dominant function is shared with ENTPs, so that definitely doesn't help the confusion. They're both extroverted intuition, their dominant function. So they both have big ideas and a lot of big visions and stuff like that. So that's not going to distinguish them at all. If they have big ideas and big vision, that's not a distinguishment between ENFPs and ENTPs. However, once again, it's falling on the introverted feeling, the extroverted thinking again. So ENFPs, once again, are introverted feelers, but extroverted thinkers. So their logic is more extroverted. That's the side that you hear more. And their introverted feeling is not only their internal values and morals that they keep to their chest, but follow to a T, but also that they process emotions internally. They don't really leave it out. The side, once again, that's out is usually charisma. It's pure charisma is what it is. ENTPs, on the other hand, they're introverted thinking and extroverted feeling. So what you as outsiders are actually seeing from them is a lot of emotions, and they actually are purposefully gauging people's reactions because they love pushing buttons and they really want to see you. Yeah. While their logic is actually within, they are internally thinking this logic. You don't hear the outside of their logic. So these two get flipped all the time because you think the really quote-unquote emotional chaos is the ENFP because they're an F, and you think the quote-unquote logic chaos is the ENTP because of T, when you really should be flipping the two. And so as you already pointed out, is that, you know, Agnes, you're like, when you see Anis, you know, she's, her chaoticness, there is like a logic to it that you can follow because she's showing you that logic. Like, she's telling you what it is, and so you're able to see it. And so that's definitely where I kind of like want to draw that comparison, because I do think it's really important. And I think that this is a good way to show that difference. Isabel, you've been kind of quiet, and I apologize for that, because I know I usually do most of the talking on these MBTI episodes. Did you have any thoughts or, I guess, questions about this particular element?
Okay, so what I got in summary is that I should be flipping the F and T for these two types.
Yes.
Yes, usually,
it's
yes.
Like, it's like saying, like, it's like comparing Toto from Jujutsu Kaisen to Anisphere. You can see that there's like a drastic like difference in personality.
I actually think the next one will be an even better comparison between Gojo and an ENFP. So should we just go ahead and move on to the next one?
Yeah, we can do the next one.
All right, so Dazai is on this list, and I know this is very controversial because I know most people think he's an ENTP. I do understand the argument for it. I do not fault people for mistaking it in the way that I think some of them are kind of ridiculous that they think is an ENTP. This is not one of them. So I totally see where they're coming from in this case. But with that being said, I have thought long and hard about it, and having watched all seasons of Bungo Stray Dogs and being really obsessed with the last two because it was so good, by the way, everyone watch it, I have finally decided that I think Dazai is actually an ENFP. Thoughts and comments from you girls first about this.
Well, I said Anisphere is the second biggest brain. Dazai has to be the biggest brain in this entire list. Especially after watching Bungo Stray Dogs season 4 and 5, he is the biggest brain out of all of them. I definitely can see why people think of him as an ENTP, because Dazai is off his rocker. Season 1, episode 1. He wants to commit suicide. He's floating down in a river barrel, and Atsushi's like, what the fuck is wrong with this man? My reaction was also, what the fuck is wrong with this man? So that I could definitely see as an ENTP, like a false ENTP indicator, right?
Right.
But I think what's really interesting about Dazai is that, especially when you see it in season 4 and 5, most prominently, is how much faith Dazai has in people. You're right. So there's the difference between, there's always this psychological battle between Dazai and Fyodor, right? Mm-hmm. Because the both of them, although they are quote unquote masterminds of their group, they're currently locked away in the most secure prison in the entire world, and they can't escape. So they can't go out there and manipulate things and make things go their way so that they win the war, right? Mm-hmm. So they're literally locked up in a room. The difference between Fyodor and Dazai is that Fyodor has already anticipated the fact that he would have ended up in jail at this point, in prison. Mm-hmm. But he has so many strings and connections that he's made that inadvertently manipulates people into doing certain actions, right? And right. So that's why he always has a plan after another plan after another plan. He has a contingency for everything. Nothing will fail because he has a contingency. But funnily enough, Dazai doesn't have a contingency plan at all. Mm-hmm. Rather, he relies on the faith of the people that he formed a connection with. Although we have definitely argued and debated on this channel that Dazai can be a groomer slash manipulator because of his previous experience with Octagawa, and Octagawa is clearly very much like groomed in that sense.
Yeah, and when we say grooming, not in like a sexual sense, but
not
just
in a sexual
like,
sense, but like in a very I need to serve my purpose for this person.
Yes,
yeah, right? Yeah.
And then Atsushi almost has that same kind of inkling as well, but he kind of like was able to stand up on his two feet in the end. But while Dazai and Fyodor are basically kind of like duking out their psychological battle while in jail, Dazai goes like, well, I really don't have a plan, but I just believe in the people that I trust. And he believes in Rampo's deduction skills. He believes that Atsushi still has the willpower to keep going. And he believes in the kindness of the arms agency, which, now that I think about it, Dazai and Kage are very similar in that sense where they have very traumatic beginnings and it makes them as very different people. But at the end, they still have that weird core of, I believe in the people that I trust, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's what makes Dazai kind of stand out as an ENFP, although not as vividly as, let's say, like Vash is, right? Or like Itadori.
Yeah, what about you? How do you feel? What were your thoughts, I guess, Isabelle?
I think that's the part I most have trouble with is like him, you know, obviously trusting his people. And then like, for me, I feel like Dazai doesn't have this, like what Itadori and Vash have, kind of like this, I guess, like idealized thing or like world that, or something that they want to do in their life. Like Dazai seems like he just wants to commit suicide type of thing, which isn't really a goal for him. It's just kind of like a side joke. And so it's like hard for me to understand like, exactly what is he doing this for? You know why? I mean,
I think he does have a goal, but you don't really see it as much because it's actually hinted in season two. Because his goals and his perceptive in life changed because of Odosaku's death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like
you answered for me.
That's pretty much it then. So then like based on what Odosaku had said to him, it's like he's living that type of thing. Wow, sometimes Dazai can be so simple too, I guess.
Dazai is very simple because like that's the whole reason why he left the Port Mafia. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he shows up at the Arms Detective Agency. He's like, hi, I want to join you guys. And everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, right? Because the detective agency started because of, not because of Dazai, right? But because of Fukuzawa and Rampo becoming a team. And then they recruited Yosano to be on their team too. So those were the original three. And Dazai just comes later as basically an extra, but from the Port Mafia, so to speak. But he is the biggest mastermind. And he does come off as somebody who may have not been ENFP. But yeah, he's definitely influenced by Odosaku. And that's why he keeps his relationship with Ango, who's in the government. Because they have that vision of wanting to carry out Odosaku's wishes, I guess, into the future.
That makes sense. Yeah, and so, I guess also, like, he's, like, a good example of him, like, he could be a bad person, like, he could still be in the Port Mafia type of thing, but then he can be in the detective agency, too.
Yes.
Okay. All right, sorry, go ahead, Gracie.
Oh, so what I was going to say is, I think your discussions kind of perfectly reveal why I ended up thinking that Dazai is more of an ENFP than ENTP. First of all, what Agnes said of the whole Odosaku being his ideal, being his guide, his code, internal feeling, introverted feeling in that regard, he took it very, very deeply and he is holding on to it with a death grip. And so that's like the first thing. But really, I think the biggest thing that, so first of all, the biggest reason why people are confused by Dazai is that Dazai is very purposefully pushing people's buttons, which is a particular stereotype and quirk to ENTPs. And certainly he does it way more than I think we're used to seeing ENFPs doing, especially with Kunikida. But he also did do it with Atsushi, and he basically does it with everyone, where it seems like he's being a total troll and he's purposefully making people angry at him. But I think that's too shallow of a thing to just look at. And this is obviously bolstered by the fact that we had these later seasons where we really get to know Dazai way past the other stuff. And as Agnes pointed out, is the first thing I want to go ahead and say is that Dazai is quite capable at manipulating people, is the thing. And in particular, and this is no offense to ENTPs, ENTPs aren't really interested in manipulating people in the first place. They're actually kind of aligned with ISTPs in this regard. They're very solo.
They're very about, like, they're more about improving themselves.
They bulldoze through. That's the best way I could put it. They bulldoze through. If no one agrees with them, they really don't care. They're just going to do it themselves. And so, and in fact, if people don't like them, even better, because that gives them more attention that they're so different from other people. So they're not manipulators. ENFP are in the diplomats group, and the diplomats, which are all NFs in the middle, so that would be ENFJ, such as myself, INFJ, which we've covered before, and then INFPs and ENFPs, which we're covering right now. And essentially, diplomats are all very capable of manipulating people specifically. Out of these four, ENFPs are least likely to do it. They're not really They would prefer not to do it, but they absolutely are capable of doing it. And they're actually very good, because that's how Shauna baited me into asking her to be our roommate back in college. Ooh. She was the one who dropped it and planted the idea in my head. So, and when we were later recounting that story, she was like, yeah, I planted that idea, because she overheard me talking about finding another, like, because I was going to live in an apartment with, like, three roommates, and I have two, and I was discussing with one of my roommates on, finding the last one, and she overheard, and she was interested, but she didn't want to just step in and ask, so instead, she very casually planted when we were having a conversation that she was moving out of her current dorm. She was not going to be living there anymore. And that was all I needed to spur me to ask her to room with us. And so they are absolutely capable of doing it. They just prefer not to do it. And because they are absolutely capable of doing it, but prefer not to do it, they are also very good at catching other people's manipulations, which ENTPs aren't exactly known for. So that's another thing that I chose Dazai for. And then finally, the final reason is, once again, that introverted feeling, which we already covered with Otosaku. But on top of that, Dazai keeps to himself his emotions and his grief that he still holds for Otosaku. He only talks about it when he's alone. He does not want other people knowing, and he does not want other people listening. This is something very personal to him that he is keeping to himself. Just such classic ENFP character that ENTPs absolutely would not do, because they're an extroverted feeler. They are not an introverted feeler like ENFPs are. So that is why I ultimately think Dazai is an ENFP, despite the fact that he can really, really easily give off ENTP vibes. Does that make sense, Isabel? I guess, based on how I interpret his character?
No, yeah, I very much appreciate that. Yeah, I definitely didn't give it that much thought, but, like, hearing you talk about it, yeah, obviously can have, like, sounds like you've got it.
Everyone, thank you for listening to us discuss this. I hope you guys had a good time with listening to us talk about ENFPs. Let us know if you disagree. Obviously, disagreements are allowed on Girl Talku. This is the whole point of Girl Talku. But other than that, we will be back next week with another fun topic. So I hope you'll be here next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.